You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant. Good afternoon. We've made it to Thursday. A lot happening. The NIT final tonight. We talked to Buzz yesterday. I thought you would be interested in that. The women begin tomorrow night, and the men on Saturday. Will cover it all for you right here. Let's get going with some headlines. And, snubbed. Come on. We talked to Buzz Williams last night. He sounds like he's in a pretty good mood, but he's also pretty determined to let everyone know that, yes, they are going to win the NIT and let everyone chew on that one. How about that? Do you remember who won the NIT last year? We'll tell you who won the NIT about 5 hours from now. Let's get going here with some more headlines. And before we get too deep into the program, in Alabama, are they ready or not? Unleash the best pass rush. Well, when you have the best player in football, it doesn't hurt your pass rush. Anderson, Turner, Toto. That's a lot of sacks. Beware if you're a quarterback on the other side of the ball. How about a new rivalry? Tennessee football. Ole Miss? Did I read that correctly? What's all that about? Oh, yeah, Lane Kiffin. I keep forgetting. Remember he tossed out the golf ball the other night and his Ole Miss promptly lost three straight to Tennessee. Are we going to see Tennessee and Ole Miss, Notre Dame, LSU, Oklahoma, Southern Cal, Miami, and Ohio State? Those are rivalries from yesteryear. We're probably not going to see too many of those because when the SEC expands with Oklahoma and Texas, I don't think Tennessee and Ole Miss is going to be one of the games that we see. But the plan, it has not been worked out yet, should be that we see every team sees the other. We'll see every team within 2 years. That's the working plan as we speak. Much more on that later on as we get through the spring. But right now, let's tell you what we're going to do today. Andy Staples, he's on top of everything. Matt Hibbs with the Classic City Collective. That's a word you better get used to hearing. Jordan Reed from ESPN. Hal Raines, the executive editor of the New York Times. He's from Alabama. We'll talk about a very incredible moment that he played a role in more than 40 years ago. And Andrea will join us from Minneapolis, the site of the Women's Final Four. Somebody tweeted this out. Two best coaches in the state of Mississippi? Dion and Mike Leach. Mike Leach right now is 0-2 against Lane Kiffin, who had a little bit to say about that. Egg Bowl trophy. Nothing against Mike Leach, but how do you rank Mike Leach ahead of Lane Kiffin, who has had his number the last 2 years? Now, Dion, that's another story. After all, he's got a lot of experience. We are going to begin your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285. Am I reading that correctly? Vic calling from Austria, where it's probably, 804? Is that right?
It's 904.
904. Okay, I got my Austria standard time wrong. Where are you in Austria?
In Vienna.
Vienna, Austria. My grandmother was from Austria, but not from Vienna. So tell us what's going on there in Vienna.
Well, before I get to my question, I just want to invite Handsome Joe to Vienna. And if he'll bring me some Vienna sausage and saltine crackers, I'll take him to some fine art museums.
Yeah, you know, there's so much culture in Vienna, from classical music to art. I don't know. Something tells me that handsome Joe is probably not interested in going to where Beethoven wrote some of his greatest works. Would you agree?
Well, it'd be nice to hear him report from, like, the porcelain collection at the Sisi Museum.
I hope so.
Okay. Hi, Paul. I remember the very first call from your Louisiana process server, and it was a good call. And while I don't want to plagiarize his format for fear he'll retain a real lawyer, I'd like to borrow from his format and ask five questions that require one answer.
Okay.
Number one, not according to the number on the paycheck, but according to the value to his organization, who is more underpaid, Saban or Sankey?
Ooh, good question. Are you asking me?
Shall
to
I go to
this?
Number two?
Okay, I'm going to say underpaid would be Sankey.
Number two, in 15 years, will Vanderbilt be in the SEC?
Yes.
You once held Jeremy Foley up as the gold standard, but given the state of facilities when he left and the millions paid to fire coaches, do you still consider him one of the best?
No, I do not.
Do you think low and mid-level schools that have zero chance of ever playing in the playoff will break away and form their own league, which adheres to the old scholarship-only format?
Vic, yes, I do.
Number five, if Jim hadn't hurt his shoulder in junior high school some 65 years ago, would Archbishop Marino still be in Birmingham and Jim be in Rome?
Archbishop Marino would still be in Birmingham at John Carroll High School, and Jim would be the Vicar of Christ.
Oh, good answer. Thank you, Paul.
You're not supposed to laugh at your own jokes, but anyway.
Well, I was laughing at your response.
Yeah, no, I was laughing at you were laughing. Hey, it's so great to hear from you, Vic. Be well on this good Thursday night in Austria. Casey is up next. How are you, Casey?
Hey, what's going on? Fine, bro.
We are doing well. Thank you.
Hey, man, I ain't going to hold you, man. I'm glad to call in, get through the show. This is my first time.
Wonderful.
But I just want to speak on these guys called yesterday about the show and about, like, the grandkids be watching, you know, and they had to turn the TV off and, you know, all this type of stuff. But I was just wondering, like, you know, come on, man. This is like, I love this show, man, because it's like it gives people a voice. You know what I'm saying? It gives people, like, you got to realize, man, hey, we passionate about our sports. You know what I'm saying? And not just the sports, that people playing the sports, but everything that comes with it. You know, the commentating, the stories about these kids, you know, how they, you know, came up or what storylines evolved in their life, you know, everything, you know, it's just passionate, man. You give us a platform where we can go on here and escape, you know, some things, and we can come on the show and be ourselves, you know, and have fun and talk about these sports and talk about these coaches and everything like that, you know, and talk about the players and the game, you know what I'm saying? And I like these guys, like Legend and all these different guys that y'all have calling to the show, man. It's fun, you know, it's entertaining. And it's a good way, you know, to talk about sports, you know.
Casey, I'm glad you said that, because we took a lot of heat last night. And I am sensitive to anyone who has a complaint or criticism of the show, especially when they involve children. And I don't know whether it's a good idea or not for 11-year-olds to watch this or your grandchildren, but I think mostly it's okay. we try to be careful here. Yeah, it gets a little carried away, but sports gets a little carried away every once in a while. And I think what you just said is representative of what we do. We are sports fans who yell and scream and are passionate, occasionally taking it to extremes, but most of the time we keep it in the middle.
I mean, yeah, you know, that's what we do. And, you know, this is not Augusta. You know, this is not golf, which no. I ain't got no problem with golf, but I'm just saying, this is not nothing where you just have to be quiet and proper, man. This is something that's fun that allows us, hey, if my wife or somebody don't want to hear me yelling in the room, you know, I can call the Fireball Show and I can really get off what's on my mind. I can listen to these people like Legend and other people's, and I love hearing different people's perspective in sports. You know what I'm saying? That's how much of a fan I am. I like hearing different people's
Casey, I say this a lot, but you know, I'm out. You go up and down the dial. I was listening to a show today about an hour or two ago. And it's a very famous guy, and you know, he's probably had a million times more success than I have. But all he does is pontificate, and he takes tweets, and he takes texts, and emails, and you know, he reads the question, he answers the question. He's the only voice you hear, and quite frankly, I don't think my voice is that interesting. I'm not a professional broadcaster like these guys with the big, booming voices. I want you to be the star of the show, and I think this is the only place, and I rarely say something like this, but I believe this is the only show you can go to on a national level where the caller is the star. And to be the star, you have to let your hair down sometimes, and we have to give the callers a little freedom, and you know, sometimes they abuse it, sometimes they don't, but most of the time it's pretty entertaining, and I'll back that to the wall. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back. It's great to have you with us, and let's get to some more phone calls here. And we will get to a phone call right now. Let's go to Andy from Staples. Andy, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
I wish I was from Staples. I mean, we don't have that building in L.A. named for us anymore, but I'd take the cash flow.
How do you feel about that, having your name taken off one of the vaunted arenas in all of the NBA?
It hurts my heart, Paul. The corporatization of all this stuff, I mean, how dare they name it after a crypto company when it was historically named Staples? It's like, you know, I'm from the old school, Paul. I like, you know, names that are organic, like Wrigley Field. Oh wait, that's a gum company that named that field. So yeah, I would like it, but now I don't get any more Staples Center references. And it's funny because my name, you'd think there's a lot of ways to make fun of it, but they're all really lame. There's nothing particularly interesting about it. And there's also no good nicknames.
Andy, there's some concern this week as if this just happened. I know you've written about it, that suddenly the Power Five may be shrinking to the Power Two, but I thought it was already the Power Two, didn't you?
Yeah, I think that was established quite a while ago. And I think the closer we get to the Big Ten signing its new TV deal and that goes into effect in the 2023 football season, I think people are going to – it will hit them over the head a little bit more, because the distance between the SEC and the Big Ten and everybody else is just going to be enormous. And I think it's frustrating if you're a fan of a team in the ACC or a fan of the team in the Pac-12 or the Big 12, because – you've been told it's the Power Five. These guys are equal. And before that, you know, you had the teams in the Big East that were told it's the BCS. All these teams are on the same plane. But the market just hasn't worked out that way. And it's not fair. It's not just. But it is the way it is. And, you know, when the Big Ten does this deal, the distance will be huge. The SEC will be the only one, even in the financial neighborhood of the Big Ten.
Yeah, I was looking at that report that you were referencing, and you know, I want to get to you because I had somebody ask me, well, okay, so what if the SEC and the Big Ten pay out $110 million and the Big 12 pays out $43 million? It seems pretty obvious how that matters, but beyond coaching salaries and everything else, how does that gap differentiate the Big Ten and the SEC with literally everyone else? Where does that money go?
It is coaching salaries, that sort of thing. And the thing that's interesting about it, Paul, is, and I know you have Matt Hibbs on later from the Classic City Collective, I am very curious to see how much NIL and all this other stuff changed how people donate money. Do they donate money to go directly to the players? Do they donate money to go to the school? Because if the amount people want to donate to the school goes down or goes toward the players, then the things you're going to need for capital improvements, coaching salaries, that sort of thing, that's going to come from your conference payout and your ticket sales and all that other stuff. So the teams that have the bigger conference payouts are going to be able to afford the better coaches and have the better facilities and all that stuff.
Let's get into that, because I know you've written about the value of NIL and where it all goes from here. That's all we hear about. We hear about NIL, we hear about the transfer portal, and that's just about it. So to dig a little bit deeper into what you've heard in reporting this story.
Well, it's interesting. I wrote a story today about an NIL collective, and I realize they're not officially attached to the schools, but wink, wink, nudge, nudge, they are. And so if you're looking to get some players, who are you going to get? Who are you going after? Are you going after quarterbacks? Are you going after offensive linemen? And we've seen a very big deal that everyone thinks is a quarterback, and everyone thinks he's a quarterback going to an SEC school. And my thought on that was, so these five-star quarterbacks, they got a pretty high bust rate. So is there another position group that's a safer bet? So I went back and looked at five-star recruits from 2003 to 2017, figured out, okay, how successful were they? I made a scoring system that was based on whether they were starters, all-conference, all-America, Heisman finalists, where they got drafted. And we're trying to figure out what's the safest position. If you are spending money on players, what is the safest position to do it? And I thought, oh, it's definitely going to be D-tackle, offensive line, because the big guys who are ready-made, they're hard to find, they're sure things. Turns out they're not. So if you want to spend your money and have a good chance of getting a good return on investment in terms of that player being good, go find a five-star safety. Those guys tend to hit. And I think, you know, the five-star corners were number two in that group. And so if you really want, go find the Derwin James, the Eric Berry, the Patrick Peterson. That's your guy. You're going to have to take the risk on the quarterback, because he may bust, but you got to try, because the guy I found who scored the highest in this, and it shouldn't surprise you, is the guy who would have made the most NIL money, would have gotten the most exposure, would have been, you know, commanded the best deal, is Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was a three-time Heisman finalist, a Heisman winner, a two-time All-American. But it's interesting, because you can also hit big on a D tackle, because two of the top five, Christian Wilkins from Clemson and Ed Oliver from Houston, because they were both three-time All-Americans.
That is really interesting. Speaking of the season, which it's here. The spring games are starting. Yeah. Basketball is ending. It always just seems like in talking about the SEC, it's the same. But other than Alabama and Georgia, where are you locked into right now? What programs and what storylines?
This is a really exciting offseason in the SEC because, you know, you've got Texas A&M bringing in that great recruiting class, but what are they going to be at quarterback? Because you think about the history of Texas A&M in the SEC. Their two best seasons, they had a very special quarterback who won the Heisman Trophy in 2012 and Johnny Manziel. And then in 2020, it's Kellen Mond's fourth season as a starter. So an above average quarterback in his fourth year as the starter. They've got to get that position right before they can get over the hump. They've done everything else right. They got the coach, they got the roster, they got the facilities, but they got to get that position right. So whether it's Haynes King, who was supposed to be the guy last year and then he got hurt, or Max Johnson, who came from LSU, or, you know, could it be Connor Wegman, the five-star freshman? But whether if they can figure that out, they suddenly ascend into that group. And then, I mean, think about how many interesting storylines there are, Paul. Brian Kelly's the coach at LSU. Like, if I told you that this time last year, you'd have laughed at me.
Now, Andy, are you sure about that?
Positive. He and his family are at LSU.
I thought he was at Notre Dame. I know I've been kind of out of touch the last couple of months, but that, but I can't believe they made a change because I heard Ed O was doing so great down there.
Listen, anybody – whoever tells you fit matters, no one fit a place better than Ed Orgeron fit LSU. It's all about whether you win.
Or may fit worse than Brian Kelly. Andy, are you still there?
I am still here, Paul.
Okay, yeah, I just wondered if you were just reluctant to react to the Brian Kelly fit, but that's okay.
Listen, we'll stop there. I will talk about that. It's the same thing I was saying. If you win, you fit.
Right.
Brian Kelly, who won a lot of games at Notre Dame, I think Brian Kelly did a really good job at Notre Dame because I think it's a pretty hard job. I think being able to take Notre Dame to a BCS title game and to two playoff appearances is not easy in this environment, in this era of college football. So he's done a good job. If he can repeat that at LSU, he's going to win a lot of games. And guess what? It won't matter what accent he has or whether he's from North Boston or South Boston or wherever. He fits if he wins.
Everyone is talking about South Carolina and Tennessee and Arkansas. And you and I know these are programs that are ascending, but there's only so much air to breathe, oxygen in the SEC. So from the next tier, not the LSUs and the A&Ms and obviously the Georgia Alabamas, who's gonna make the move next of this next tier of coaches and schools?
Well, here's my question: who's knocking Kentucky out of that spot? Because I think Mark Stoops has done a pretty good job putting them there. And so Liam Cohen comes in, the offense gets better, they lose Wandale Robinson to the NFL, but they still have Will Levis, but Liam Cohen goes back to the NFL, and now they're bringing in a guy from the Shanahan tree instead of a guy from the McVay tree. But Kentucky has done such a good job developing players along the line of scrimmage. It feels like that's a program that has some staying power. But I'm excited to see what Tennessee does. The one thing with Tennessee I keep thinking about is this time last year, we had no idea what the quarterback situation was going to be. They had guys who were on the roster, and then Hendon Hooker had come really to play for the old staff. And so, we didn't know coming out of spring who the starter was going to be. Joe Milton transfers in from Michigan. He kind of runs away with it in camp. But then Hendon Hooker is the spark that makes them truly better. And so now you've got a whole offseason with Hendon Hooker as the quarterback, as the guy. How much does that change things for Tennessee? Because I think if he'd been in that role the whole offseason last year, they could have been even better. You know, maybe they win the Pitt game. Maybe there's another win in there or two for Tennessee. So I'm kind of excited to see what that program looks like. And that's another one I'm shocked by, Paul, because this time last year, if you said Tennessee as an athletic department will be riding high, you know, they'll be the number one baseball team in America. They'll have had a good year in basketball and men's and women's. and the football team will be trending upward and people will be super excited about the way they play and how fun they are. I would have said, wow, how did that happen? Because I thought Josh Heupel coming in, the style they would play would be fun and would give them some hope, but I didn't think they'd get the results as quickly as they did. And so I'm very curious to see how that works. But the thing is that you just mentioned, Shane Beamer had South Carolina on an upswing. I think the coaching job he did at the end of last season was just fantastic. But then I haven't even mentioned my alma mater. People are pretty excited about Billy Napier at Florida. He did a great job at Louisiana Lafayette. So you mentioned that oxygen, you know, that zero-sum thing with all these teams in the same division. Somebody's going to be really disappointed because I just mentioned four programs that all feel like they should probably be second behind Georgia in the East, and only one of them is going to be.
Yeah, and only one of them opens the season against Utah.
Exactly. Yeah, that Florida opening against Utah and Kentucky, that's about – there aren't many tougher opening duos right there.
Yeah. Napier's done a great job. Let's see how he does in September. Andy, thank you. Always great for you to make time for us. I know you're a multimedia star, so we appreciate when you can squeeze this little old show in for a few minutes.
Now, you keep doing what you're doing, Paul. I know people worried about you working blue and worried about the callers. I'm glad you give the callers the voice and the platform, because when I was a kid, I would have loved to have had that. I didn't live in Alabama and you weren't national then. But that would have been me calling in and screaming about somebody.
It would have been scary to think about Andy from Florida. Yeah, I'm an 11-year-old, and I think you're an idiot. That would have been a great sitcom to think about.
That would have been me. I would have probably been pretty out there. I'd have been like Legend or Jim or any of those guys. I would not have held back.
We're going to think about that. Andy, thank you very much. Andy Staples,
thanks, Paul.
Complimenting us where it matters with our callers. And we will take a break, and we'll get to you, all of you, including the 11-year-olds, right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. It's great to have all of you with us. Let's continue with more phone calls as we continue and check in with Mike, who is up next. Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Paul?
Very well, Mike.
First up, good luck to Texas A&M tonight as they try to win the NIT title. South Carolina game toss wins the national title women's basketball on Sunday night. And, Paul, I got North Carolina against Kansas for the national title on Monday night.
That is quite a project. Hey, thanks for the call, and I hope you put out your money line in Vegas. Big Al is up next in Arkansas. Hollywood is up next in Memphis. Hello, Hollywood.
Hey, Paul. How are you getting along?
We are doing great. Great to hear from you.
Well, good. Listen, that Hollywood is actually a true nickname that I obtained it years and years ago, and I thought it might get me more than one call a day. But my first one has to do with the 30-30 program that appears on ESPN from time to time. It just so happens that yesterday they had the Christian Leitner.
Right.
as to why he was somewhat disliked during his playing days. And I was wondering if you ever had the opportunity to interview him, to talk to him, or maybe you could shed a little light on why he developed the title of one of the most disliked players in college, not only college basketball, but it's my understanding that even on the, what was it, the 96 Olympic team, one of the Olympics teams. So what can you tell me about Christian Leitner?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know that. I have talked to him once or twice. And wasn't that called I Hate Christian Leitner? I've always hated him primarily because of that shot against Kentucky. So
well, wait a minute. You talk about that, Paul. Here's an old Kentucky blue blood right here. I go back to the 1940s, so I cover about 70 or 80 years. And I'm not mad at the guy for hitting that shot because it was a great play. I'm just trying to understand what other
personalities. Hey, Frank, did I ever tell you, so about 11 or 12 years ago, I've told this story in various ways, but I was in Tuscaloosa one night at a function. And I was with C.M. Newton, who was a great friend and coach.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And it was just the three of us. It was C.M., myself, and Pitino, Rick Pitino.
Right.
And Pitino was having a few glasses of wine. We had all done this event, and he was a charming guy. After some wine, and I finally asked him. I said, "I know you've been asked this 1,000 times, but I'm curious. What were you thinking on the inbounds play?" He almost admitted that he just didn't. I mean, it wasn't that he didn't think about covering the inbounds, but he just said, "I just didn't think with the amount of time left in the game, it was a good use of a body."
Right.
And it turned out to be fatal.
Well, do you think that's what brought on the dislike for Christian Leitner?
I think there was more to it. Now, I have to – I can't remember. I've seen the 30 for 30 many years ago, and I don't remember much about it. But I do remember Leitner was not really liked by anyone, and that included and sometimes that happens. I mean, there are athletes
– Absolutely.
That are despised. I mean, you cover it up while they're playing college ball, but once you get to the big leagues, you can't keep that a secret any longer.
And then, of course, on the Olympic team. See, he was part of that Olympic team that had, I think it had Michael Jordan and even maybe Barkley on there. But kind of turning to another subject, my brother-in-law retired as an instructor at Duke University about 8 or 10 years ago. And so me being an old Kentucky boy and him being from Duke, we would have quite a discussion concerning who has the best basketball program. And I kind of think that within football in the SEC, wouldn't you say that, or don't want to put words in your mouth, but would Alabama be recognized as kind of the benchmark for football in the SEC over the last 60 or 70 years?
Yes. In fact, Fred, I was talking to a producer earlier today. They're doing a big thing on Urban Meyer's tenure at Florida. And he was telling me, we were in the 2008, 2009, and this guy was calling me from England, and he was talking about how the dominance in Urban Meyer was at the epicenter of college football. And I said, well, that changed pretty quickly. I know you're over across the pond. But at that moment in time, in 2008, Urban Meyer had just won two out of three national championships.
Championship, right.
Yeah, you know, we weren't sure what Saban was all about yet. We knew that he was ascending. But, now it's all about Nick Saban and Alabama, and that Florida program is outside, other than those who played on those teams, is a distant memory.
Well, along the same lines then, would you have to say or could you say that Kentucky is kind of the benchmark for basketball within the SEC?
Without a doubt. And I think that has been something, even when other teams have done well, Kentucky has been the benchmark my entire life. So I've never really even seen it challenged, even when you've had different intervals of LSU going to a couple of Final Fours and Auburn a couple of years ago and Arkansas with its run under Nolan Richardson, Kentucky was still the benchmark.
Well, this might support that. 2,320 total wins. Okay. 21 Elite Eights, 17 Final Fours, ranked either in the number one in the nation or in the top 25 in the nation for 919 weeks.
That's incredible.
And Final Fours, as I said, they've been in the Final Four 17 times. But this is one thing that's incredible to me. They've won 8 titles with 5 different coaches.
Yeah, I was just thinking about – I was trying to think of it, you know, from, you know, Rupp to Joe B. Hall to you had Rick Pitino, Tubby Smith, and obviously Calipari. It's incredible, especially if you ended at 2012, 10 years ago this weekend, when Kentucky the right. last won its title.
Right. And then how many colleges can you think of that fired a head coach in basketball that had won a national championship?
I can't think of I may be able to think of one or two, but
okay, the University of Memphis right here in my backyard with Tubby Smith.
Right.
Tubby Smith won a national title when he was still at Kentucky,
sure,
and then he later came down here to Memphis.
Yeah, but Fred, I don't think he was exactly I don't remember the circumstances of him leaving Kentucky, but they weren't trying to keep him when he left.
No, because he did not allow facial hair, no jewelry.
Right.
If one player wore a sweatband, all players had to wear sweatbands.
But Fred, as crazy as that is, I still find it even more remarkable in football that Auburn fired a coach 2 years after he won the national championship.
Sure did. Sure did. And since you're talking about Auburn, for what it's worth, my son played a little football out at Memphis State, and we played Auburn twice, and we beat Auburn twice.
You know what? I remember that. I remember the one in the mid-70s. I'm not sure I remember the other one, but
well, the first one happened to be Shug Jordan's last season.
Oh, okay. That must be the one I remember.
It probably is. And then the following year, they came up here, and we beat them 29-27
okay.
up here, but I could call you back with some more Kentucky
basketball trivia. One day, Fred, we'll go because Murphy, one of my favorite. As a kid, I trick or treated at Billy Murphy's house. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I don't think he gave me anything, but I remember knocking at his door. We'll take a break. Coming back with much more in your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Wimper, interesting name, is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Wimper.
How you doing today, Paul?
Very well.
First off, Paul, I called you about a month ago, and I want to apologize to you for I talked over you. You may not remember it. I was talking about Gunnar Stockton coming to Georgia, and I know I watch your show all the time, and people talk over all each other all the time, but I went a little overboard. Now, that's out of the way. I want to know, Paul, have you ever wrote a book, autobiography about your life?
Yes. A couple of years ago, I did one reflecting. It was somewhat autobiographical. It was somewhat of the life inside of my first season at ESPN, but it covered a great deal of my career.
Okay. How could I get a copy of that, a signed copy?
Well, I think the easiest way, it would be difficult to get it in a bookstore right now. I think Amazon, I know you could get it there easily. And once you get it, I would be more than happy to sign it. You could either send it to me or meet me somewhere. We can make that happen.
Okay, that's great. And one more thing. Legends got his picture on there, Handsome Joe.
Right.
I-Man. How could I get my wife says I'm vain, but I've never had my picture on national TV before.
And well, Wimper, I tell you what, let me put you back on hold, and they can tell you where to communicate, okay?
Okay, Paul, thank you, and I'll be calling, okay?
Wimper, thank you. I'll just leave you on hold, and we will grab it and tell you where to put your picture. John is up next in Tennessee. Hello, John. John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
That is wonderful.
I'm here.
You still there, John?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Are you okay, John?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay, but you're still there, right?
Right, I'm here. I'm here.
We are particularly pleased to know that you're still there. Unfortunately, we're not going to be here much longer. We're heading to a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.